Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Cobb.
And I am Neil Miller.
Ooh.
And you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
I'm waiting for the big brass band to start playing and welcome back, Neil Miller. Do, you know, do, like tie a yellow ribbon. Of course, you would be like. It wouldn't be a yellow ribbon because you're not actually coming back from fighting a war. Maybe be like a amber ribbon.
Well, it feels like
represent all the beer
you
drank.
World of film criticism and movie journalism.
Oh my God! Don't
Sundance
even make it that.
Sundance is about the closest we ever get to war. It's not. I mean, obviously, clearly, it has no relevance to actual war where people die.
How many roadside bombs did you encounter at Sundance?
However, it is four. However, it is the most brutal, I think, experience for a film critic. I mean, it is just, you see a ton of movies, you're always writing, by the end of the week, I think I was writing an article this week, kind of recapping, and by the end of the week, you're just, like, your mind is just gone.
Wow.
You know, and because I could barely even read my own notes from the end of the week.
It is just like serving in Afghanistan.
It's not in any way. I don't want to go there because that's not even close. Like, that's very, feels to me like very disrespectful to soldiers who actually fight in war. But Sundance is brutal. But a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun this year.
Good. We'll talk more about that in the next segment because we only have two movies that are releasing this week. And how many have you seen, Neil?
I saw Everything and Nothing, I guess. Because it's all
the
movies that
tell me all the movies you saw that we're not going to review this week.
None of them were the two that we are reviewing this week.
Oh, yeah.
Although, in fairness, I don't think they screened From Paris to Love here. They screened Dear John, because I know because some of the other rejects here in Austin went to see it.
They screened Dear John a lot in a lot of
markets.
Yeah,
there were like four screenings of Dear John. In fact, I think I probably could have seen Dear John because I think they screened it like the day after I got back, but I was just not. No.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, you had that post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Right, from the war. Oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble.
I have now made you sound like a complete jerk.
Yeah, thank you.
Which is
all I wanted to do was come back from Sundance and just have a good time, you know? But you had to go and ruin it by making me disrespect the troops.
That's right, man. So, well, why don't you dig yourself out of your hole with your, you know, army grade shovel, and that they you know, isn't that part of standard equipment? And tell us how to get a hold of us.
You can get a hold of the Fat Guys at the Movies, which is the show you're listening to, just in case you've forgotten, because you're hearing my voice and it sounds weird.
And you haven't been on for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and our lovely faces pop up. Please, you know, review us on iTunes. We always enjoy hearing how awesome we are. It's weird because when I was on Reject Radio, it was always about every comment we got on iTunes was like terrible. It was like, you guys suck. I hate your faces. Your voices sound stupid. Nah, nah, nanny boo boo. But all the Fat Guys of the Movies listeners are pretty cool, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to like us, and I think it's because of me, but it might also be because of you.
I think we do enough. We do enough of making each other feel bad that they want to build us up.
Right. Anyway, so go on iTunes and download us, review us. That would be very much appreciated. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. I have not checked the voicemail yet this week because it's Sundance.
I was at Sundance.
But you can also get us on Twitter. You can get me twitter.com/rejects. You get Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr with the two R's. You can also get us on Facebook, Fat Guys the Movies.
Yeah.
Just search Fat Guys the Movies on Facebook and become our fan. You can join the dozens of people who are also fans.
Hey, we got like 50-some fans now.
I know, dozens.
Yeah.
So.
We can say scores now. Scores of people
who are fans of Fat Guys the Movies.
Yes. Now, and the thing is, if you go to my Twitter page, I have a special picture of myself in honor of the upcoming Valentine's Day. I wanted to put something romantic.
I need to go look at this while we're recording.
You've seen it?
Wow.
Yeah, Yeah.
Good job, Fabio.
I've been working out.
You know, that photo, you're getting much better at Photoshop.
It's sort of terrifying, isn't it?
It's terrifying because people are going to believe that that's what you really look like.
Yeah, although Dr. Colobias did call me out. He said, you don't use that much oil. I said, ah, on my chest. Anyways, let's talk about our first movie, which neither of us have seen. Neil, why don't you give us the introduction?
We are talking about From Paris with Love, in which John Travolta dresses as Kevin Carr, wields a bazooka, and tries like hell to look badass in this remake of the second James Bond movie with nothing to do with Russia.
Yeah.
I'm a man short, Reese. I need your help.
Sir, you do realize that I am not special ops certified.
We've got you working with our top operative, Charlie Wax. Besides, it's mostly driving Wax around.
Move closer! Closer!
Nail this job and consider yourself a member of the club.
My prints are all over that car.
You want to stop in the middle of our getaway so you can wipe your prints and grab some files.
I'll be quick.
Quicker than this.
What the?
Work for you?
I don't think that synopsis has anything to do with anything. I really should
John Travolta's
pre-screen
trying
these.
To look like me. He's totally trying to look like
me. Well, he gets bald.
And he's got his goatee.
That's true.
And he's a little fat now. Yeah, I mean, the days of Grease and Saturday Night Fever. What?
Of course.
Oh wait, so I can't make a comment about his weight because his son died. I mean, I'm sorry. That's terrible. What happened to Jet Travolta? That was terrible and awful. And I can't imagine as a parent. But that doesn't stop me from saying that he's got a little bit of a spare tire in the middle. He's had a spare tire since like his comeback
in
'94.
He's been chubby for a while.
I mean, the last movie he wasn't chubby in was like Look Who's Talking.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Or maybe Look Who's Talking 2. Or Look Who's Talking Now.
Look Who's Talking 3.
Look Who's Still Talking.
Look Who's Still kind of talking.
Anyways, this is a movie about CIA agents. I kind of wanted to see this. I was kind of excited. And
well, yeah,
then
it's directed
Lionsgate
by the guy who did Taken.
Yeah,
Pierre
Lionsgate
Morrell,
didn't.
And who's going to do the Dune remake. So
Dune.
So I'm with you. I was also kind of excited because it looked like the first trailer we saw was just stupid, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the second trailer looked like it might be a good action movie. So I'm thinking somewhere in the middle, stupid, ridiculous, potentially okay action movie.
Well, and I've heard from some of my friends on Twitter, Mel Valentin, who's Fjodor Fish, he told me, I think he does E-Film Critic.
Yeah.
I totally got
He's
it. I'm sure I totally
in,
got it.
San Francisco.
Wrong.
I know Mel.
Yeah.
We've met before.
Yeah. Well, Mel told me he said it wasn't good at all. He gave it like a 1 out of 5. And then Jack Giroux from the film stage told me that he thought it was really fun. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's seen it because everybody I know seems to be at seems to have been at Sundance.
I keep up with the people who haven't. But you know, honestly, I wanted to see it, but then then on top of it, they're not doing midnight screenings in Columbus, which I don't understand why. I mean, they did a midnight screening of The Spy Next Door.
Yeah.
So what is going on with that? So
anyway,
so
maybe
it gets a big, big, fat preemptive suck.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I kind of look forward to maybe seeing this. I might actually go see it. If I can find a midnight screening.
I'll watch it on DVD.
If I can find a midnight screening, I'll go see it and post my review over at the filmschoolrejects.com.
Yes, I've heard of that site.
So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. So far, yeah, preemptive suck. So
when we come back, we're going to talk romance.
Yeah, we are going to romance, love, Sundance, Avatar,
Oscars.
Who knows? It's Oscars, whatever. And we are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and I have not left for another film festival yet, so it looks like I might stick around for this entire show.
Well, you don't have to leave for the next film festival, because isn't it
the
next
one?
Oh, that's true.
The next one is South by Southwest, which is down the street.
Yes. Did you follow the Kevin Dance Film Festival at all?
I had seen a few Kevin Dance tweets
yes.
on the Twitter, but I wasn't exactly following it.
That's fine. You
but I guess the question is, what was that all about? I thought it was just like you were jealous that you weren't at Sundance,
yeah.
So you were watching bad movies instead.
Well, pretty much. And also, I wasn't watching bad movies. I had a nice array. I didn't get through all of them. I'm still working through my it's all my backlog of DVDs. But I was like watching the Bourne series, Bourne Ultimatum, or I didn't watch that, but I watched the Bourne Identity and the Bourne Supremacy. And
oh yeah, because it just came back out on Blu-ray again for like the 14th time.
Well, the flip disc. They're on the flip disc,
which is just seems totally worthless to me.
Well, you know what? It's that whole they're experimenting with ways to make for people who don't have a Blu-ray player or who have a Blu-ray player but then have a DVD player in another room in their house or on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can respect that. I personally like the ones where it just packages both discs in one, like Disney, what Disney does.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of double-sided discs.
I would rather them have like the two discs.
That's what I mean. That's what Disney does.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. And then I watched the Smokin' Aces movies. And
What did you think of the second one, Assassin's Ball?
It was a mess.
I thought it was a mess until like the final moments, and then it was kind of awesome.
You know, there was. Let's put it this way: for the action, it was really cool. For the hot chicks, it was really cool too, because Autumn Reeser is smoking hot, and that Mexican girl is hot too.
Martha Higuerita.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and this is an open letter to, this is a comment to Autumn Reeser. If you're going to do a topless scene, don't glue your hair to your breasts, because that just looks stupid. Because you're bouncing around, and there's this hair just glued to your breast.
Just do the topless
just
scene.
Just do I do topless all the time.
It's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not a big
deal. Says Kevin Carr.
Yes. But no, I was watching some movies and catching up on stuff. I watched Aziz Ansari's latest video. Have you seen that? He's hilarious, man.
I have not.
You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Randy with AKs.
Why would I blow up the Chick-fil-A? It's delicious.
It's delicious. So so I just watched a bunch of Boogie Nights and Magnolia and stuff like that that were new on Blu-ray.
Cool.
So that was just me bragging about the fact that I didn't have to walk outside in the cold to watch my movies.
Yeah, that's true. It was cold in Sundance.
Yes.
That happens. It snowed though. Man, it's beautiful when it snows up there.
I'm sure you
forget about the cold really quick when you see all the mountains and the snow and
I've been there. I've been there through
and the attractive women that are all there.
All bundled.
For some reason, Sundance attracts super attractive women. So when they get inside and take their coats off, it's like glorious.
Well, that's because it's basically LA in the mountains.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at that weekend,
No, it is every. I've driven through Park City during the regular year, and Park City itself is like this pocket of LA. And then outside of Park City, it's gorgeous. But like in Park City itself, it just looks like downtown LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great.
Without as many bums.
No, it's really kitschy. It is kind of kitschy. It's cool though. I like it. Anyway, moving on to the next movie that we're talking about here.
Yes. Why don't you introduce us first?
Which is Dear John, in which a crack soldier from the elite G.I. Joe team falls in weepy love with the chick from Mamma Mia and her voluminous chest.
2 weeks together. That's all it took. 2 weeks for me to fall for you.
I gotta go back.
Just like that.
So where are they gonna send you? Right in the middle of it all?
Dear John, tell me everything. Write it all down. That way, we'll be with each other all the time, even if we're not with each other at all.
It's a full moon here tonight, which makes me think of you. Half a world away.
Letter number 8.
Letter number 33.
Dear John.
I miss you so much, it hurts.
Now, you didn't see this either. Not for lack... But no, you did for lack of trying, because you didn't even go to the screening.
This one I might be kind of responsible for. Mm-hmm. Just for the simple fact that I probably could have raced to a screening... pretty much off the plane from Sundance.
Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me for not diving into another movie right after I'd seen 30 movies in a week.
Wait, I saw 30 movies!
I know, right? Can I say something? There's a...
Please do. Dig yourself
deeper.
There was
a Louis C.K. Documentary. It was really kind of a concert film at Sundance.
By him or about him?
It was directed by him, and it was his concert. It was like his show.
You know what he should have done? He should have directed, and he should have just snuck into like Dane Cook's thing and like just pirated his whole thing, and then said, "This is my documentary because I'm stealing from Dane Cook now."
But it's very funny in there. It's this thing where he's talking about like white people problems.
Of which he's the whitest. I mean, I think there's only one other comedian who's whiter than him, and it's Jim Gaffigan.
But stuff like I had to sit on the tarmac in my plane for 40 minutes. He's like, oh, you had to sit for 40 minutes? Then did you fly across the country in a chair? Like, how absurd is it that this is a problem? So, like, I think of blogger problems as the ultimate white people problems. It's like, oh my God, I had to go see so many movies. There are kids in Uganda who would beat me to a pulp with a rock.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're fat white American guy. Like, you have it really good. And I would agree that I have it really good. So I need to stop complaining about having to see so many movies at Sundance.
Yes,
it's hard.
Well, I'm going to complain about seeing Dear John.
Excellent.
Because here's the thing. First of all, I'm a dude. This is how I'm phrasing every movie for like in January. I'm a dude, so I, you know, this is directed by it's directed by Lasse Hallström. I don't know how to say his name. But it's written by Nicholas Sparks. It's originally based on his novel. And he's the guy who wrote The Notebook. I don't know what this guy's like in real life. I mean, he could look like me, but I just have this picture of him as like a pirate from the cover of a romance book, you know, with that waving hair and the chest button down. And the guy is just like, you can tell he weeps at every sunset and, you know, he sighs at every bird song. And that's kind of the kind of writing it is. It's this very rich and, oh, it's all in the South. And it's very much like The Notebook. So,
You like The Notebook and you like weepy crap.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's that whole thing of he likes to throw characters in a mix that are just going to have problems getting together. Mm. And if you like watching all that crap happen, then you knock yourself out. But me.
And if you like rooting for them all the way to the end, I hope they get together.
It was so funny because I had taken a nap and it was just so hard to get up to go see the screening. And then I dragged my sorry butt out and drove to the screening. And as I'm coming in, like literally like a minute or two before it starts, the rep's there and she's like, oh no, it's really good. I go, no, it's Nicholas Sparks. You know, I'm not. And she's like, oh no, I like this part. You'll like it. You'll cry. I go, I said, there's a greater chance of Jessica
Does
Alba
the dog
coming
die
in.
At the end? Because if so, I'll cry. Otherwise, no.
Well, and I told her, I said, there's a greater chance of Jessica Alba coming in and giving me a lap dance than for me getting weepy at this movie.
You said that to a publicist?
Yes.
That sounds so like you.
She knows. She's like, oh, you're saying that, but she was cool with it.
Anyway, so what's the grade on this? I'd like to move on.
For me, it kind of sucks. It didn't suck. But
for me, it wasn't worth running from the plane for.
Yes.
So,
all right. Well, that's where it is. But, you know, hey, chick flick.
Yeah. So let's talk. We got a couple minutes. Let's talk about Oscar nominations.
Yeah. Well, What were your thoughts?
Well, I like it. I think this year's going to be either the year of Avatar or the year of really cool underdogs winning. But
it's
probably going to be the year of Avatar.
No. I think Avatar's going to win all the technical ones, as it should.
I think, but it's just like Titanic, where it's like everybody's like, oh, it'll win all the technical, and then it just won everything else. Anyway.
Well, no, but Titanic was a powerful movie. But no, I think this is my prediction.
Avatar and Titanic are about the same.
Yeah. Well,
let's face it. One's just got blue people.
Okay, fine.
And a ship.
Okay.
Doesn't have a ship.
Yeah,
they both have ships.
Anyways, I think what's going to win, I think it's really up, because here's the thing. Avatar is one of the few movies that has been nominated but doesn't have any acting and doesn't have any writing nominations to go with it. And that's actually pretty rare for a movie to win with that. There's only been like five that have won.
Right. When Titanic and that like little old lady who was in the movie for about a minute and a half got nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
But here's the thing. I think The Hurt Locker is going to... be Hurt Locker or Inglourious Basterds because I think the Academy wants to give Quentin Tarantino the Oscar for directing because they didn't do it for Pulp Fiction.
I hope Catherine Bigelow wins.
But that's the thing. I really think that Catherine Bigelow's got a real shot because A, she's a woman, and so that's a big story.
She kind of out-directed the world.
I'm not saying, but here's the thing. The Academy votes on a political nature, and they will vote for her because she's a woman. She deserves it.
Hollywood likes. I mean, I think the Academy, for some reason,
you can't tell me that Sean
enjoys making history.
You can't tell me that Sean Penn didn't get nominated for Milk last year because he was playing a gay man.
His performance was good.
He did a good job. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there were people in Hollywood that voted for the political reason. That's the way it is. We got to go to a break.
Yeah, well, when we come back, we'll talk more.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. I want to continue with this Oscar discussion just really quick because I got rushed out of there. What I'm saying is
I didn't say everything I wanted to say.
Well, no, I want to point out, first of all, Kathryn Bigelow did a great job directing The Hurt Locker, and I think if she were to win, she would definitely deserve it.
Oh, totally.
I'm just saying that the way the Academy votes is a lot of times when there is that sort of history-making thing, or they will vote for that, even if they're going to split the decision. And that's why I don't think James Cameron's going to get it for Best Director at all.
Well, I mean, everybody's kind of tired of James Cameron winning Best Director.
Yeah, and I don't think Avatar's going to win best.
Picture. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes Bigelow for Best Director and Avatar for Best Picture. I really wouldn't. But I think the one thing I'm seeing from the nominations, you know, regardless of who wins, is that it's a very populist year.
I don't think
District 9, Up.
Yeah, but you know what,
The Blind Side, I would call The Blind Side a populist movie. I mean,
The Blind Side is totally a populist movie.
It doesn't serve the populist demographic of the Blind people Side that we write for, but it is very populist.
The Blind Side wasn't a bad movie, but it is not in the top 10 of the year. I hate to tell you.
And you know what else I liked? I liked that Star Trek got a lot of nominations.
It didn't get Best Picture. I was really expecting that to get a Best Picture.
Yeah, I liked, you know, that I liked that District 9 got 4. You know, Star Trek got 4. A lot of them are technical. But I really feel like this is just such a good year for the Oscars. And whoever wins, it's...
See, I'm kind of lukewarm on it. The last couple of years, I've really been interested. Because, when No Country for Old Men won, I like that. That and Juno were going up against each other. And, when The Departed won, it was The Departed and Little Miss Sunshine, and even last year, Slumdog Millionaire made my top 10 list. Mm-hmm. But the movies that are getting all the buzz are not on my top 10. So I'm sort of just not into. I mean, they're good movies. Like Up in the Air, I liked Up in the Air. I thought it was a very well made movie. Didn't make my top 10 list, kind of thing. Although Up, it doesn't stand a chance of winning Best Picture. But I like the fact that it got nominated because it's
the only
second
time.
Well,
it's nice to finally see a Pixar movie get nominated for Best
Picture.
And I think it took having 10.
I wouldn't have gotten if it was 5. And it's not going to stand a chance of getting nominated. Mm-hmm. Although, what's the deal with this? There's the 4 movies that got nominated for Best Animated Film. And then there's, the other one, Kitty's Miss Paw Prints or something like that. What's the fifth one?
What was
that's
it?
Not even out anywhere.
The Secret of Kells.
Yeah.
I just got a press release about that, and I haven't read it yet, but, apparently it came out somewhere.
It came out, But that wasn't even on anybody's radar.
You know what would be funny?
I didn't hear anything about that.
You know what would be really funny? I mean, this is absurd to say.
Okay. Yes, go on.
It'd be really
cool
to see Up win Best Picture, and to see Fantastic Mr. Fox win Best Animated Film.
That would be hilarious. It won't happen at all.
There's no chance, but it would be, in my mind, kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, no, it would be cool. So, I thought it was interesting, the mix. I'm very curious to see. I will be surprised. I'm curious to see whether Sandra Bullock's going to actually win for Best Actress. Because I think in the next month you're going to get backlash to it. Because she did a fine job. Again, she did a fine job, and I'm not a big Meryl Streep fan, but if you compare her role in The Blind Side to the Julia Child role in Julie and Julia, I mean, come on, seriously?
Yeah.
You can't tell me that...
It's interesting. You might see Carey Mulligan potentially
That's what
win.
I think always in the Oscars, there's always, of the 4 acting categories, there's always one that kind of comes out of nowhere where somebody's like, whoa, no one expected that. Yeah. Kind of like the Marissa Tomei with My Cousin Vinny. No, not the wrestler, with My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's going to happen. I really don't think Sandra Bullock's going to – and it's the same reason why I think James Cameron's not going to win, or Avatar's not going to win, because I think people, by the time the Oscars, all the votes are cast, they're going to be like, oh, okay, it's made its $2 billion plus. I'm not voting for this, even though I love the movie. I'm a huge Avatar fan, but
right.
Still.
Oh, well, speaking of $2 billion, let's talk about box office.
Whoop, what do you
say? Avatar finally went over this past week.
Everything.
Every single record. It is now the highest grossing. It made $31 million over the weekend, and then Monday, Tuesday, it finally eclipsed Titanic in domestic box office, $601 million. Mm. It has gone over $2 billion, which is the first movie to ever do that.
Yep.
And it owns everything. It also, yeah. as I believe I pointed out in an article, is the top grossing movie with a paraplegic or quadriplegic main character. But it defeated defeated Million Dollar Baby several weeks ago.
I didn't know
that's
that was a record.
That's actually a chart on boxofficemojo.com.
That's going to be like it's the highest grossing movie of any time somebody had to eat eggs fast.
Well, you want to know what else? There's some other fun ones. It is the number one environmentalist movie. It is the number one movie in which the star is a CGI character.
It's the number one of everything. If it's the number one of all time,
it was the highest grossing movie on New Year's Day. Highest Martin Luther King Day weekend for a four-day weekend. Mm-hmm. It is the highest PG-13 movie ever.
It's the highest everything.
It was the fastest movie to 500.
It's the highest movie that starts with A.
500.
It's the highest movie. It's the highest grossing movie that had a face on the poster. I mean, everything. So, it's the highest grossing. If it's the highest grossing movie, it's the highest grossing. If the highest grossing movie, that's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
So, needless to say, after
wake up,
dollars.
Neil Miller.
Wow. Last weekend, though, we had Edge of Darkness and When in Rome both new, and they finished 2 and 3. Came in, I mean, but still, they were only Edge of Darkness made $17 million. Avatar made $31 million. So this weekend, the question really is something going to beat Avatar?
Here's the thing. I saw a story earlier today, via the good folks at the Film Stage, who Meryl Barr was our host last week. So
oh yeah,
guest host,
thanks to him for covering for me.
Yeah, but I saw a note that 51% of online tickets. I hate these statistics because I think they're stupid. But 51% of all online ticket Fandango and stuff like that ticket sales are for Dear John, and only 31% are for Avatar. And mm-hmm. and that was like led to the discussion of, well, is does that mean
will,
Dear John's
will Dear
win?
John be the movie? What knocked off Titanic?
So. Oh God, I don't know.
I'm gonna while you're talking, I'm gonna try and find out because okay.
I'm curious, yeah. Because it was on for like, what, 80 weeks or something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah.
Isn't Titanic still number one before Avatar came out? No, but here's the thing. I hate those online ticket sales stats because they're completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Because they're just based on the people that are anticipating going as opposed to the people who just show up in the theaters. What beat Titanic?
Lost in Space.
Oh my God!
it was April 3rd, 1998. Titanic came out in December of 97, and it took until April. And Titanic made $11 million. Lost in Space made 20 that weekend.
Wow!
What is this? The 17th week, 16th week of release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was finally beaten.
I don't think Dear John's going to beat it. I don't think From Paris with Love is going to beat it. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's mediocre buzz from Paris with Love. I really don't think it's going to – it's good for like 18, 20 million maybe.
Yeah.
And then Dear John, I just don't
see that as being
a huge – I
still think
Avatar's
going to make another 25.
It's good, yeah. Avatar's only going to drop 10%, 11%. And here's the other thing with From Paris with Love and Dear John. What it is, very few people are buying advanced ticket sales to Avatar because it's not selling out anymore.
Right.
You know, you can just wander into a theater and go see it now. Mm. It's whereas like 4 or 5 weeks ago,
you had to buy tickets online.
Yeah, if you wanted to go see the IMAX, you had to buy your tickets online a day or two in advance. So
I'm with you. I think that the Dear John will come in second with Paris with Love is going to finish outside the top five in my mind.
I don't think it's going to do well. Part of it is they've done limited screenings. It's getting mixed buzz. They're not even screening it. They're not even showing it at midnight in Columbus, which I talked
Columbus
to one.
Columbus is a good midnight market.
It's a great midnight market, and the theater that I go see it at is right next to the Ohio State University, so you get a lot of people. Like I said, when I saw The Spy Next Door, and there were five people in the theater. But I talked to a theater manager once, and I was told that they only do midnight movies if they think it's going to clear 30 million or 20 million. I forget what it is, but there's a number, and they're like, well, if the final box office is going to be – and I think they combine the shows.
Yeah.
Like next week, they'll do midnights of The Wolfman. I think The Wolfman has a good shot of taking it.
Yeah. Also, another reason that I think Avatar will do well is that it was just nominated for 9 Academy Awards.
Yeah.
This week.
Nah, nobody cares about
that. Well,
Oscars.
This week. So there are people out there who care about the Academy Awards that have not seen Avatar yet that are going to be like, all right, now I have to go see it.
Yes.
You know, there are people, of course, 61 million people have bought tickets for this, but there's 250 million people in the United States.
I know.
So I'm sure there are enough people out there for this movie to make another 25 million who have not seen it, who will now be like, all right, Oscar night.
Fine, Oscar, you're making me see this movie.
You know,
idiots.
The Oscar thing kind of legitimizes these big movies. So.
You mean the $2 billion box office didn't legitimize
it? No, highest grossing movie of all time is irrelevant when it's nominated by a small group of people for a very highly publicized award. That's where
its next biggest contender made $15 million in the theater.
Did you see that as well? This is an interesting point. Did you see the chart that was the Best Picture
nominees. I saw your note about it, yeah.
And like the highest grossing was obviously Avatar $2 billion. It's the highest grossing Best Picture nominee of 2009.
It's the highest grossing Best Picture ever.
But
I'm going to punch you in the face next time.
The lowest was in Education, which made like $8 million. So the range.
Wow, that's I'm surprised it made that much because it was really an under-the-radar film.
The range is just ridiculous.
But you know, like, even if you take Avatar out of the mix, because it'd be like statistically an anomaly,
yeah.
You're still looking at movies in the Best Picture,
Up made 290, Blindside made 230, Inglourious Basterds, District 9, both in 115, 120, and then everything else is under 100, and then you go down to like The Hurt Locker, which will probably win, made $12.7 million at the box office, you know, and A Serious Man made $9 million.
Yeah, so that one surprised me. I was surprised that got nominated.
It's funny because even though Avatar made $601 million domestic box office, it's the average gross of all the Best Picture nominees is $151 million.
Wow.
You know, so fascinating, I guess.
Thanks, Spock.
All right.
Do you want to do a real quick Fat Guy 5? We'll rip through it.
Yeah, go ahead. Knock it out.
In honor of Dear John and the impending Lover's Day of Valentine's Day, we're going to do 5 unlikely romances. And they're all mine because Neil's lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is The Terminator.
Yeah.
Because,
that is kind of unlikely.
A guy travels through time to find his love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
the love
so
he doesn't even know is coming. He's sent by the child that he ultimately makes.
Oh, you just spoiled it. You just spoiled the 26-year-old movie.
Sorry, James Cameron. I didn't mean. Please don't come and get me.
Yes, exactly. Incidentally, do you know how much
Avatar is about trees?
Do you know what the budget was for The Terminator? Mm-hmm. It was like $7 million.
Jeez.
God. He made little art house films. Anyways, the next one is Lady Hawk. Have you ever seen Lady Hawk?
No.
It's a fantastic little fantasy movie. It stars. It's directed by Richard Donner, and it stars Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer, and Matthew Broderick. And it's about Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer are lovers who had gotten cursed, so they one turns into a hawk during the day and the other turns into a wolf during the night, so they never can meet. It's a great little movie.
Okay.
It's great from the 80s. The number the three, well, there's no order. There never is in these Fat Guy Fives. It's just the next one I put down on the list.
It's probably the sweetest one as far as I know.
Fantastic love story. Nobody ever thinks of it as a love story. WALL-E.
Oh, WALL-E is a total. It's Pixar's great love story.
WALL-E. Oh yeah, it's one of the best loves. It's the best love story, second only to the first 10 minutes of Up.
Oh jeez, God, it's gonna make me cry on the air.
Yeah. The next one, the last two are sort of little odd ducks here. Mm-hmm. We've got Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Because even though there was no romance whatsoever in the book, the romantification of Dracula has been done in the movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, he's going, he just wants to be loved.
Yeah, I guess.
He's also a vampire, but oh well. But at least this is a good vampire, a good solid bite people's necks off vampires instead of those crappy Twilighters.
At least he killed some people. Exactly. At least he didn't just sparkle.
And then the last one, and this is actually in honor of Scott Weinberg, who championed this movie and took me to task because I was gonna I live tweeted in October. May, have you seen May?
No, I don't listen to Scott Weinberg.
Oh, okay. There you go, Scott. That's what you got to hear from. Good luck getting into the Online Film Critics Society, Neil. Anyway,
that's all right.
But no, May was a. It is a sweet little story about a woman who is trying to find the ultimate lover, and she's really awkward and weird, and she's in love with Anna Faris. And let's just say that she takes a unique approach to finding, to making her own lover. It's a sweet little movie.
All right.
Disturbing.
Well, that's the Fat Guy 5 this week. When we come back, we're going to send you off into the wilderness.
And the trees.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Freaky, freaky, fresh word.
We've come. I feel accomplished having gotten through all the way through the show after being off for a few weeks.
I'm glad that you have such a mundane sense of accomplishment.
This is usually quite difficult for me. However, it is time to move on to the last segment and a little feature we call the DVD Roundup. We'll start with, I have two picks
just to let
this
you
week.
Know, I want to interrupt you real quick, just to let you know, Fozzie Bear, who was the host 2 weeks ago, he did a fantastic job, but he completely botched the DVD Roundup.
Oh.
Intro, so, just to let you
interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
That's the only reason I didn't fire you.
This is one of my great accomplishments is the intro to the DVD Roundup. Yes. you know, I'm going to have to go back and listen to those shows, because the more and more you talk about them, the more and more I kind of want to listen to what happened while I was gone. Usually
oh, had,
I don't. Usually I have no interest in hearing what's going on when I'm not here.
We had some great guest hosts. Yeah, Meryl and Fozzie did great jobs.
Nice. Well, thanks to those guys. So my two DVD picks this week. First is Zombieland, which on Blu-ray is just awesome. It's got some really great special features. And Ong Bak 2, which on any format absolutely kicks ass.
Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa. Is intense, and this whole movie finishes with probably one of the most ridiculous 30-minute long fight scenes in the history of the world.
Now, also Ong Bak,
it is
the
insane.
The original Ong Bak is also on Blu-ray this week as well.
Yes, which is also a very good movie.
Is it? Are they?
It's a lot funnier. The first one's really kind of funny and kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And the second one is very serious and more of a period piece, and it has a lot more elephants and stuff in it. But
wow.
Yeah. But the second one, I personally, I'm a bigger fan of the fighting. It's more stylish.
Wow! Wake up, man.
Some more stylish fighting in the second one. Whereas the first one I thought was more energetic and more fun. But they're both good. I'd say go get them both.
Okay, cool.
So, what do you got this week?
Well, my piece de resistance, the king of the kings of all this, is Doctor Who, the complete specials, on DVD.
It's on Blu-ray as well.
And Blu-ray.
I started watching it.
Did you start watching the specials, or did you start watching the David Tennant?
Well, I've been watching Doctor Who for about the last month.
Yeah.
And the specials, that Blu-ray set just knocked me over.
David Tennant is my favorite Doctor Who. I mean, I'm a real Doctor Who geek because I watched this stuff when I was, you know, a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Baker, in my opinion, is my favorite Doctor Who. He's a lot of people's favorite Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
David Tennant is the only one who's even come close, in my opinion. He is he is so good as Doctor Who.
He's so emotive. Like, there's just so much, like...
There's a lot going on.
Just great excitement in his face.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know what happened is they did four seasons of Doctor Who. The first season with Christopher Eccleston, and then Tennant was the next three seasons. And then they didn't do like a full season. They just did like four. Well, it's technically five specials because one's a two-parter, and that's what they aired on the BBC. And now they've got a new Doctor Who. The folks over across the pond, they're already watching those.
Yeah, but, Matt Smith.
So I haven't seen the new Doctor Who, but I loved David Tennant in there. So that's one of my, and it's got tons of behind the scenes and special features and stuff
ridiculous.
Like that.
I'm gonna probably spend the entire weekend after I go see Paris from Paris with Love. I'm gonna probably spend the entire weekend watching the rest of those specials.
Yeah, and it has the Bionic Woman in one of the episodes.
Nice.
Yeah. There's also Love Happens on Blu-ray if you really want to get the loving going on. That's on DVD. That's Aaron Eckhart. Two-Face and Mrs. Former Brad Pitt fall in love. And then there's a ton of re-releases.
That's one of your picks of the week?
I'm just mentioning it because they sent it to me. That's my obligation.
You really
I've
have
covered
jumped
it.
The shark, haven't you?
They sent it to me.
That
I watched
be a stinker.
It.
That's a pretty bad movie.
No. The stinker has its own stink. But there's a whole bunch of like re-releases. You got To Live and Die in L.A. You've got Walk the Line, Last King of Scotland, Mystic River, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and The Music Man, the original one with Robert Preston. On Blu-ray this week. So, I mean, what's great nowadays is they're just releasing tons of stuff on Blu-ray. So,
yeah, a lot of old stuff.
Use your tax check and get
and
your Blu-ray player.
I mean, here's my recommendation, though, as the person who is kind of the Blu-ray aficionado of Film School Rejects.
Sure.
Is a lot of these, like, Mystic River, stuff like that, if you've never seen these movies or have never owned these movies, they're worth picking up on Blu-ray.
Get them because they're going to look better.
But if you already have them on DVD, sometimes you want to pay attention to these because sometimes it's really not that big of a jump. Mystic River is a perfect example. It's the same movie that was on the DVD. It's just mastered in high definition. It's not really a movie that you need to see in high definition. And it's, the special features aren't that different from the original DVD. So,
well, when they released I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry on Blu-ray, the Blu-ray had fewer special features than
so
the actual DVD. So,
I would just say if you've already bought the DVD, just be cautious.
Yeah,
so.
But it's a great time to go pick these up if you've never seen them or rent them. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. Okay. Stinker. Are we on to the Stinker? The Stinker is Amelia, a movie that no one should own.
She dies in the end.
Yeah, it's really. I think we beat Amelia to death when
That's
it
right.
came out. So, yeah. You guys get the point. Anyway, time to wrap up our theatrical reviews for the week. Dear John, which you saw, right?
Kind of sucks, but I'm a dude.
Whatever. And From Paris with Love gets a preemptive suck because they didn't really screen it. Although, you never know. This one could be okay.
It's gonna suck.
Next week we've got kind of a big week. We've got the Wolfman. We've got Valentine's Day. You got Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief.
Wow, you got the whole name.
I know what's up. So we're going to be reviewing all of those, hopefully all of them, but we'll see. And in the meantime, get us over at FatGuysTheMovies.com, and I will be back next week with Kevin, and we'll see you then.
Woo-hoo.